Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of, let's talk trash, sorting the multifamily mess. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a leading utility management practitioner in the multifamily industry, the fantastic Mary Nitschke. Welcome, Mary.
It's so good to be here, Mark. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the topic itself, talking trash. Can you kind of frame for our listeners what the situation is currently or historically with multifamily when it comes to trash? And then we're going to go into some of the challenges and potential solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. As an industry, we're predominantly moved by requirements when it comes to waste. And there's currently over 9,000 communities in the United States with recycling composting programs, and this is increasing. In fact, there's even new MRFs, material recovery facilities being constructed, which means there's going to be more programs and more requirements for our communities to recycle. When you think about that, multifamily represents at least 43% of the building stock in the U.S., we're going to be pushed into participating in these types of programs. And there's going to be more of a push for that material because the material that comes out of recycling is becoming more and more valuable as inflation rises. And currently only about 21% of all the materials that can be recycled are being recycled. And data is showing us that actually participation in diversion is flat. It's been flat for a number of years. And so there's going to be a push in the requirements for that participation to increase, which means we're going to be pushed to do more. I think a great reference for people to have, if you're not total passionate about waste like I am, look at wastedive.com. They have an article that lists out all of the cities in the United States that have a zero waste goal. That means that they want to divert 90% of all of their waste, all of their material that's in the waste stream from the landfill, which means they're going to have composting and recycling programs within those states and cities. So take a look at that because it's really substantial, and multifamily is kind of challenged when it comes to these ordinances because we're sort of constructed similar to office, but we metabolize like a bunch of houses piled upon each other. So it's really challenging for us to participate in these requirements, but we're being made to do so.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that because I'm sure that recycling and composting regulations can differ across different municipalities and states and so forth. And that's got to create some challenges for portfolio-wide consistency for a property management company that has a portfolio that covers many of those different municipalities, and they've got certain ways that they want to do things, but it could differ from location to location. What are those challenges that you've come across?
Well, I think our biggest challenge is that we're consistently inconsistent. So there is no national standard for diversion. And in fact, it depends on the MRF. So I had two properties and they were literally across the street from each other. One was but the street divided two cities. One city was Mountain View and the other city was Sunnyvale. And within Mountain View, they accepted cardboard egg cartons in the cardboard container. But in Sunnyvale, they didn't. So it made it incredibly challenging to have any kind of consistency in the program because you couldn't even take the leap of faith that two cities right next to each other would be sending material to the same MRF. The only thing you could do is really look at each property or city as a different market and build from that. So it's incredibly challenging. I'd say it's impossible to have portfolio-wide standards on these requirements.
You know, you mentioned that there are some cities that have those zero requirements. What are some of those standout cities or regions that are actually setting the standard for waste diversion?
I think the scariest out there, and I'm a big fan of monsters, so I kind of like things that are a little scary, but the scariest city for multifamily is definitely San Francisco, California. So this mm-hmm. is a city that has that zero waste requirement. And we're all familiar at this point with contamination fines. We either have a friend or we've experienced it personally where we're being charged some sort of a contamination fee on one of our trash invoices. Well, in San Francisco, they charge contamination not only in the recycling container, but if you have recyclables in your trash container, they'll fine you for that contamination as well. Wow. And it's sort of like a three strikes and you're out program. If you have too many contamination events within what they deem as a short period, they will refuse service at your property until you can show them that you have signed a two-year agreement with a sorter service to clean your waste stream. That's really onerous.
Yes, it really is. It is.
So I would again look at that wastedive.com article for the cities, but it's all coming, and there's even more fines. And it's not just, I'll also pick on Dallas because people go, well, that's San Francisco. That's in California. Yeah. That's almost a different country than the rest of the United States. So let's go to Dallas. They have a formula for diversion of so many tons per apartment unit. So they've manufactured their requirements to our industry, and it's tied to your business license. So if you don't hit it, that affects your business license in the city of Dallas. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff out there. You need to be careful and you need to be aware.
Yeah, and that brings me to my next question. We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Sure. But what do you see is the future trajectory for composting and mandates? And I mean, in multifamily, are operators going to be ready for the next steps, or what do they need to do to prepare?
Oh, we are so not ready. I think the first thing you should do is understand if you're in a zero waste city, and then you need to understand if your market already has to have composting, like California, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Oregon, Vermont, along with some cities already have composting requirements enacted. So you should really take a look at those. But we have to really kind of look at each property differently because, again, we're never going to be able to get a portfolio-wide program. Each property has a different construction and a different resident demographic. So we kind of have to build out based on the individuality of the asset. I think that's going to be key in figuring out how we make these programs work within our industry. But it's tough and we don't have the bandwidth to deal with it. We're afraid of the smells and the fact that there's no consistency even in composting from market to market. It represents a real challenge that it's hard to get ready as an industry.
With about a minute and a half left, tell me, typically in those situations and where they have these mandates, who at the property level is responsible for making sure that they're not in violation? Is it the property manager? Is that are they saddled with that responsibility?
I've seen it sort of saddled between the property manager and the maintenance supervisor, unfortunately. But mm-hmm. it really comes down to, if you're looking at composting, you need to understand what, again, can and cannot be accepted. Some composting programs, you're allowed to put it in bags. Some you have to put it in loose. And then there's also the education for the resident that even if it is compostable, you can't put it in the bin. I had a site where a resident thought they were doing the right thing because they had compostable kitty litter and they were putting it into the compost bin. And whereas the litter is compostable, the animal waste is not considered compostable. So we had to have a discussion about pet waste in composting. So you have to be prepared for that educational component as well.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be right back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
Managing multifamily assets shouldn't mean juggling platforms and drowning in emails. Meet DeskFirst.com, your all-in-one solution. Showcase available units with stunning virtual desktops, complete with virtual tours and floor plans. Empower your teams with real-time collaborative workspaces. Keep investors engaged with sleek, custom-branded portals and onboard residents faster with intuitive personalized portals for everything from lease access service to service requests. Affordable, easy to use, built for multifamily. Go to DeskFirst.com to close deals faster, engage others better, and manage your assets smarter.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net and see for yourself today.
We're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of Let's Talk Trash, Sorting the Multifamily Mess. I'm Paul Marks and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a leading utility management practitioner in the multifamily industry, the amazing Mary Nitschke. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Mary, in the first segment, we discussed the national situation. Actually, there is no national regulations. So it's kind of a free-for-all out there, depending on where your property is located and which markets and what regulations are in those markets. Let's talk a little bit about when it comes to this trash situation, the residents' needs versus the residents' actions. Is there a disconnect there?
Yeah. Well, and the disconnect, I think, is education. Because we've talked about how there is no national standard. And I think people are really, at this point, they're afraid to do it wrong. And so their default is to throw it in the trash. Additionally, there's some challenges for the residents around location and access. Always residents indicate that they want to live at sustainable communities. We've seen that for decades now. And my favorite was always when I was working out of a property management company, we would get these results back and they would, the clarifying of what sustainability meant was, and this was my favorite comment ever, better recycling. I'm like, what does better recycling actually mean? I don't know how to take action with that. But it really comes down to after talking to residents, and yes, I had trash town halls and walked and observed within the enclosures and looked in the containers. And the biggest challenges that I saw had to do with signage education and, frankly, the availability of bins. So I think what we have to realize is that if our recycling containers are full and somebody is bringing stuff out of their unit to dispose of, they're going to dispose of it. And if we don't give them the access to the right bin, they will make a choice that we have to live with.
Yes.
And we may not like that choice. And so I have found that in many communities, your recycling containers need to go as often, if not more, than your trash bins to get to the right metabolic rate of waste for your community. And it's just really going to depend, frankly, it's going to depend on how much your residents online shop, because we pray to the Church of Amazon and all those boxes come to our communities. So we really have to marry not just the behavior of the resident at the enclosure, but the behavior at the property. I had another property where, for whatever reason, those residents loved cooking. And so I actually needed a 4-yard compost bin, and that reduced my trash by an extensive percentage. So we reduced our costs just because we had the right size of the right container type accessible for the residents. So that's really where the gap is, surprisingly.
You know, you mentioned a point that I don't think a lot of people consider. You know, I remember back in the days of multifamily when you know, there was no Amazon, you know, there was no online at all. There was no internet, and how properties were operated, you know, without that, without PCs and computers and so forth. But that the fact that people have adopted online shopping as a pretty much a way of life for most people, that really has affected the trash. You don't think that didn't come to my mind until you actually said that. What a change. And I know you probably witnessed that change happen over the last decade or so. What did you see originally and where is it now?
So I think, and the stats haven't changed. We haven't stopped online shopping. I think our adoption of online shopping, because I looked during the pandemic and it had increased by something like 37%. And we add to that, that work from home became a thing. And for our residents, work from home means work within those units. So what that actually ended up meaning is we have a huge amount of cardboard. I mean, if you think about it, this was me at a conference one year when I went on to the Expo Flow and everybody is showcasing their different type of package lockers. Right. And my marketing team was like, this is wonderful. What a great amenity. And I'm looking at it going, where are we going to put all the cardboard?
Mm-hmm.
Because
exactly.
This is just, And incidentally, as a fun fact, I mean, cardboard has a very high value in the United States because it can actually be broken down, made into more cardboard. But unfortunately, only about 56% of the cardboard ends up in the landfill. Only Only about 44% ends up being recycled. And so if we just started with that material type, that's our low-hanging fruit. We have a lot of it, and people want it. And in many markets, it's a cost savings device, because since the commodity value is so high, it means that a lot of the haulers will actually give you a free recycling container, and you can have it lifted 5 days a week, and there'd be no cost to it. And it means that you can have what, like that one neighbor told me, better recycling with just one bin.
Yeah. Well, that's something that I never even thought about until you just brought it up. But you mentioned the fact about the having the right containers out there. What are some of the things that operators can do to make it easier and more intuitive for the residents to do the recycling and sort and dispose of things properly?
The big things are communication, education. So that's the cheapest low-hanging fruit. One of the things we do that we could do better in our industry at is talking to our new move-ins about where they can put their boxes after they've moved in. So you figure, like, you're going to have at least like 30, 40 boxes at that move-in. Where do they go? And so if we actually like communicate with them, like, hey, let's take you on a walk. Let me show you where our cardboard container is. That would be great. I once saw and walked up and helped a resident who was walking around the community holding two bags of trash. And I'm like, can I help you? And she's like, I just moved in and I have no idea where my trash enclosure is. And so I just thought I'd go out and start looking for it. So we could do a better job helping our new move-ins locate the resources that they need. We also need to give our residents some tools. So I loved a community that would, as part of their move-in gift, and they got them free from the municipality, compost pails. They were like, hey, we are a sustainable community. We compost here. Here's your pail, and here is where you can empty it. And then I had another community. They did this as their move-in gift. I thought it was lovely. It was a market that they fined for contamination, and the contamination they fined for in recycling was plastic bags, which is like, if recycling is a superhero, that's its Lex Luthor. So those plastic bags in the recycling were a contaminant. The site was being charged over $3,000 a month in contamination fines. So they just bought reusable recycling totes, gave them to the residents, said, hey, don't throw those plastic bags in the recycling. It has to go in loose, but here's a container to help you get it from your unit to the container, and that is substantially improved the cleanliness of the recycling stream. So these are examples of like giving them tools and education and just having a conversation really improved the property's diversion and their program.
We've got about a minute left. Have you seen any operators that have any kind of incentives for the residents if they recycle and follow the rules?
Oh, I would love that. I haven't seen any incentives come up yet. That would be amazing, especially with all of these resident engagement tools available. But we don't even do a great job of telling our residents what their diversion rates are. Admittedly, we don't do a great job of telling our properties what their diversion rates are. So in fairness to the residents, the properties are in the dark too. And I think that's what makes it sort of hard to have these programs. I did in a market have a great experience where the residents were unhappy with their bill back program because their trash was expensive. And this was a town hall I had, and they're like, this is too high. It's too much money. I said, well, guys, you're not recycling, and you're in a market where recycling is free. So the more you recycle, the more you save. They cut their bill in half in 30 days. They were motivated.
Wow.
I think that's
an incentive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great example. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Still using the Public Housing Authority's utility allowance? Plumbers Water and Energy Efficiency Team can develop a custom allowance model to boost your bottom line and help pay for upgrades. Plumber partners with affordable housing providers across the country. With over 1,000 successful custom utility allowance models, they know how to make the business case for efficiency. They can also help you with green building certifications, upgrades, and more. Learn about their no-risk guarantee and how they can help you at plumber.com. That's PLUMMER.com.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Managing multifamily assets shouldn't mean juggling platforms and drowning in emails. Meet DeskFirst.com, your all-in-one solution. Showcase available units with stunning virtual desktops, complete with virtual tours and floor plans. Empower your teams with real-time collaborative workspaces. Keep investors engaged with sleek, custom-branded portals and onboard residents faster with intuitive, personalized portals for everything from lease access service to service requests. Affordable, easy to use, built for multifamily. Go to DeskFirst.com to close deals faster, engage others better, and manage your assets smarter.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of Let's Talk Trash, Sorting the Multifamily Mess. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a leading utility management practitioner in the multifamily industry, the fabulous Mary Nitschke. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Plumber, boost your bottom line with a custom utility allowance model. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And Two Dots, the only true all-in-one fraud protection and underwriting solution for multifamily, trusted by six of the NMHC top 10. So, Mary, we talked a little bit in the last segment about the residents' needs and educating residents, but I know there's got to be some other challenges and solutions out there when it comes to the trash situation. So what are some of the biggest operational pain points that property teams face with this?
So I think the biggest pain point is construction. And that's because if you look at the majority of our asset types, they were built prior to 1990. I think I saw a stat at one time that it was like over 70% of the properties that are in play today built prior to 1990. And recycling wasn't a thing until 1990. So all of our enclosures, all of our designs are built for a single stream, and we're expanding into a multi-stream experience. So I think that's our biggest pain point that we have to solve for is how do we handle multiple waste streams in that construction type. And then I think another strange operational pain point is team education. So I've worked with maintenance teams and I've asked them, I'm like, well, why are you putting that material in that container? It doesn't go there. And they're like, no, the picture on the bin says it can. It's like, well, that's not a picture of a plastic bag. That's a picture of what's supposed to be a trash can. And they're like, oh, that's a terrible infographic. I'm like, yeah. So you have to really not just educate your residents and think, oh, I'm done. It's all on them. Your teams use these containers as well. And then I think the other big challenge is just having containers for recycling that are resident accessible with these construction constraints. And when I say resident accessible, don't assume because you put something, I'm in Texas, so I'm going to pick on Texas. Yeah. If you put it on the Texas back 40 and expect your resident to put their trash bag on top of their car and drive it over there to recycle when everything else waste-wise is right at their door, you're not going to get the participation that you want. So when you talk about accessibility, it's not just that the resident has access to it, but they can conveniently get to it. So I think those are some of the biggest pain points for property teams when it comes to managing these components, because when they're not managed well, these enclosures look like a bomb went off every Monday morning. And if you're in podium style construction with trash chute rooms on the various floors of your building, and it comes down to a trash room, typically in the garage area, you get what I lovingly referred to as the stack effect on Monday morning, which would be the trash would be actually stacked up into the chute onto almost the first floor. And that creates not just challenges in terms of your teams having to unclog that every Monday morning. I can't imagine what that's like, getting your heart up for doing that every Monday. But it also creates odor issues, which can lead to health issues. Because if you think of odor as a molecule, that's a thing going into your body that wasn't meant to go into it. And it also, with that stack effect, you have a fire hazard, because that trash chute door that's supposed to close when you have a fire, it's jammed. It can't close. So those are some of the biggest pain points that I see for the teams.
You know, one of the things that I've heard from property managers on site is they have a issue with illegal dumping from time to time. What have you seen as potential solutions or challenges regarding illegal dumping on the properties?
So the first thing is identify where it's coming from. And that can be as simple as I saw on one property, they realized that their fire exit, the lane that they kept clear for fire trucks to come in and out, that's where a truck was rolling in and dumping into their containers and driving out. So they just put a chain at the end of it. And that solved the problem. So it was this really cost-effective solution. So just knowing where it's coming from the outside is really helpful. And then you can also do things if it's coming through your main gate, so you don't really want to chain it off. That's where signage, and even if it's not a working camera, a fake camera saying that dumping is illegal and they're being watched and they're going to be prosecuted, that's a huge deterrent. I've also seen on the where is it coming from, look in the bin and see what the material is. I had one property where their bins were already overflowing, and the site team was like, well, we have offsite dumping. This isn't our residence. And I looked in the bin, and it was all landscape material. And the landscaper wasn't removing the material from the site like they were supposed to. They were putting it into the containers, and that was my dumping. Yeah. It's like, wait, this isn't in the contract. You need to take this off. And it solved the problem. So take a look, figure out where it's coming from, and then you can solve based on that direction.
We've got about 4 minutes left in the segment. Let's talk a little bit about, is there any prop tech innovations out there or partnerships that moves the needle on simplifying trash responsibilities or management within multifamily?
This is like, you just gave me a piece of candy and I am bouncing out of my seat because I am so excited about this. I'm a huge fan of waste IoT technology. So if we think about waste as one of our utility categories, this is the only category that's unmetered. So we can't actually manage what we don't measure. We say that way too much in this industry, but it is so true. And that's why I love the sensors that go in the containers to understand fill rate and in the actual lift events that are happening. When I was designing and building a IoT product for the multifamily industry, one of the things that I discovered in terms of the tipping events was that only 46% of the scheduled events were actually happening. And so overflow was caused by service opportunities that didn't happen as much as it was by the metabolic needs of the property. And so IoT suddenly meters this commodity, and we've never had that opportunity before. So it's very exciting. I love sensors.
Talk a little bit about the sensors, because that's new to me. We've got about 2 minutes left. As far as when you mentioned that the fact that the tip events weren't occurring, it was a service-related thing. And that's really kind of a cross-check on your service company that's supposed to be emptying your bins, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it equates accountability. And sometimes, just in fairness to the hauler, it was not always the hauler's fault. So with those sensors, so the sensors do two things, and three, depending on the type of sensor that you put in. There's so many different types of sensors, and they can go in all the containers, by the way. Even those little plastic coaters, there's sensors for those, there's sensors for bins, there's sensors for compactors. Measure it all and get a whole look at what's happening at your property. But the ones that are on the bins themselves, they'll do two things. One thing that they'll do is they'll measure how full your bin is. They'll give you a percentage of your fill rate. And that's really important because you don't want to empty something that's only half full. The second thing it does is it has a sensor in it, so it actually can feel when it's being tipped. And so that tells the bin, okay, yep, my lift event happened, or it tells the sensor, oh, well, we're supposed to have a lift event and we didn't. And I found that in some instances, in one, the bin was consistently, the UPS truck arrived at the property at exactly the same time the hauler was supposed to empty the bins. And so we would have missed pickups on one or two containers based on the location of that truck. So it was really a conversation with the UPS truck of, don't park there. You're interrupting something really beautiful that we want to have happen. And then the second thing is, did the site team get the bin out in time? I had one hauler and I was grinding him about missed pickup events. And he was like, ma'am, the bin isn't out when my guy shows up. So I went to the team and I'm like, are you pulling? They're like, no, that one's never full, so we don't pull it. I'm like, oh, okay, good to know. So I changed the service schedule for that bin, saved a bunch of money, and there was no change to the property's behavior. It was awesome. IoT kind of gives you some visibility you never had before.
All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment in this episode right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net, and see for yourself today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
Still using the Public Housing Authority's utility allowance? Plumbers Water and Energy Efficiency Team can develop a custom allowance model to boost your bottom line and help pay for upgrades. Plumber partners with affordable housing providers across the country. With over 1,000 successful custom utility allowance models, they know how to make the business case for efficiency. They can also help you with green building certifications, upgrades, and more. Learn about their no-risk guarantee and how they can help you at plumber.com. That's plumer.com.
We're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of Let's Talk Trash, Sorting the Multifamily Mess. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a leading utility management practitioner in the multifamily industry, the awesome Mary Nitschke. I do want to take a moment and thank some more of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Mary, we talked a lot in the first three segments about different aspects of waste in multifamily. Let's talk a little bit about the cost and maybe some of the pitfalls that you see out there. What are those as far as the waste hauling? Is it an overlooked item in the budget many times?
Oh, many times. Because we like to think of trash as back of house. When, if you think about it, a resident will go to your trash enclosure more often than they will go to your fitness center. So we actually look at it at our budget with about the same intensity. And it's a huge opportunity. There's so much low-hanging fruit. So the first pitfall that everybody gets into is what I call set it and forget it. So the service schedule for the property gets set based on some dramatic event. So you set the schedule during your leasing, your lease up. And so, of course, you need more service events during lease-up because there is a tremendous amount of cardboard and waste coming into your property for that move-in. But nobody goes back and looks at the bins after that move-in lease-up has happened and you're getting to that 90% stabilized rate. Nobody's going out and looking at the containers and going, yeah, can we cut this back? Are we half full? That's how that 46% on average fill level occurs, is we react to something major and then we never go back to see what the actual metabolism is for that property. So that's a problem. Or we set the schedule based on our high leasing season, and we forget that there's seasonality even in waste. I mean, it's sort of like if we set our service schedule, like if we were like, oh, for our irrigation for our property, I'm going to set how much water I need all year round based on August. You have to be able to flow that schedule. So that's like the most common overlooked item when you're looking at the property budget with waste. The other thing you can do is like cost savings and budget is don't trust the guy. We've been putting in compactors in our industry for decades. I think compactors first hit the scene in 1980. This is back when Flashdance was considered an incredible movie and leg warmers were acceptable in public. And we still have compactors. Fortunately, the other things have kind of cascaded away.
Yes.
But with compactors, the haulers got smart. And in many cases, the cost for a compacted pickup exceeds the bin cost by fourfold. So it's actually cheaper to have loose bins than it is to have the compactor. So you really have to look at what your rates are to make a determination if compactors are actually an economic benefit to your property or if it's just something that was put in at some point and you're just maintaining it without looking back. So those are, I think, the two main things where I think we can optimize in terms of our budget for waste.
What about doing audits or using consultants? Is that a good idea in cases to help you with these things?
So I have to admit, I trust data more than I do consultants when it comes to doing these waste audits, mostly because I look at it as like when they do that audit, it is a point in time. Now, if you're looking at a consultant to evaluate your build and your waste contract to make sure that what you're being charged matches what you agree to, those guys, they're incredible. They will grind those bills all day long. And that's amazing. But when you're actually looking at where the rubber meets the road or the trash meets the dumpster, I think that, that people who are designing based on that, they can't do it 365 days a year. And so it's not a meter and I don't trust it.
Okay.
That's
right. No, it's good to know. And look, we've got about 2 minutes left before I want to transition to something else with you. But I wanted to ask you, in your experience, is there an ROI in investing in better trash infrastructure? You mentioned compactors is not good, but is there something else? I know you mentioned construction, creating those areas.
Well, compactors are great in certain markets and in certain construction types. If you've got a high rise, like 300 unit property, you're going to need a compactor. There's just no way you're going to be able to fit it down in that basement. So you have to really look at the whole thing. But I have found an incredible ROI in taking a look at what the hauler rates are, what construction you can get, what you can do, how much flexibility you have in your construction, and then designing your property to that. I had a property in California where it was awesome. I looked at the hauler rates and the cost of recycling was embedded in trash. So if I could reduce my trash by adding recycling, my bill would go down. My residents were saying, I love it. Better recycling. So it was these two things. It had a compactor in the trash enclosure. And if I took the compactor out, I could get two bins in there. And so I found a scrapper who paid me $250 to take away this antiquated, functionally obsolescent compactor and capped the electrical. I slid two bins in there, instantly brought diversion up to 50%. The bill went down 60%, and the city actually gave the property an award for most innovative recycling solution.
Wow.
And the innovation was we put a container there.
That's a great solution, though. Great solution. So, I want to transition this out, and I know you could talk about this all day, and I could listen to it all day. But let's talk a little bit about let our listeners know a little bit about your journey. We've got about 3 minutes left in the segment into multifamily and what you're doing today. And obviously, if someone wants to reach out to you and get some advice or just talk with you, what's the best way to do that? So I'll leave that up to you.
So I've been in this industry since 2001. I got involved in utility management in 2005, 2006. And it was one of those situations where I was busy, but I was bored in my current role. And so I went to my supervisor and said, hey, I love our company. I want to stay with this company, but I need an opportunity. And they said, well, everybody hates utilities, Mary. Why don't you try that? And that's how I got into, back then it was utility management, and then it kind of converted into efficiency and special projects, and then evolved into ancillary and sustainability. And that's been my arc. So after 18 and a half years with a property management company, I went to RealPage as a vice president of sustainability, and I built out three sustainability software platforms, which is unusual for RealPage because it's usually all through acquisition, and we were native development to their platform. So that was pretty exciting. Currently, I'm doing all sorts of things. You can find me on LinkedIn, Mary Nitschke. So I'm doing some consulting. I'm chief sustainability officer for a startup company called Green Tea. I also am supporting a Waste XAI software solution that I'm advising for, and then also consulting for a green energy company called Public Grid.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I know that from time to time you get an opportunity to speak and talk about sustainability. Apartmentalize is coming up as we record this. Are you going to be speaking there this year?
I'm not going to be speaking, but I'm going to be going because I also write for Yield Pro magazine. Hmm. I'm a sustainability writer for them. And so I'm going to be covering the sustainability components of the conference. I'm really excited.
That's great. Well, I will be there, and I look forward to seeing you there. And we are going to definitely have you back again on the show. So we'll talk about something other than waste. We'll find another sustainability topic that we can talk about. I'm sure there's many. But thank you so much, Mary, for being on the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
All right. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.